This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at BayCare Ballpark at Philly Spring Training in Clearwater with brand new left-hander, well, brand new to us, Jesus Luzardo. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Here, when we get that a little bit closer to you.
There it is.
There we go.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So it's like a new job for you, right, with all new people. You're doing the same thing, but new job. What's it like being with a whole new team? How have the last couple of weeks been with you? You know, getting to know the guys.
It's been great. Yeah, it's like coming to a new school. You know, got to make new friends, and luckily I was able to face a lot of them for a long time. So kind of felt like we knew each other just from across the field. But now being able to get to know them and see like the human side of it all, it's awesome. We got a great group of guys here, and they've been really welcoming. So I'm excited about it.
Are you the kid at the new school who goes up and introduces yourself to everyone else, or do you sort of wait for? You know, it's like a weird thing. It's, you know, 40 new guys all at once.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I'm pretty introverted and quiet. I always have been pretty shy. So, I make it a point to go up and introduce myself to everyone and make sure, you know, obviously pay my respects, say what's up. And I think it was kind of a little bit of both. Kind of I went up to most people, and the people I didn't get a chance to, they came up to me. So it was good.
There's always that weird moment where you see someone four different times and you don't say hello, and then it becomes too late to actually introduce yourself. So
yeah, you can't ask the name anymore.
Yep, it's too late. Yeah. So you're left-hander. Left-handers are weird. Is there anything weird about you?
I mean, I think a lot of things, maybe. I think I'm pretty normal, but if you ask most people, they probably say I'm pretty weird. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I can't do anything with my right hand. I mean, I can't even eat cereal with my right hand. I'm lefty through and through, so I got to have some kinks in me somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm lightweight offended by that. I'm left-handed. Too. Yeah.
And you're pretty
I'm
weird.
Left-handed. Yeah.
We all got something.
So, Spike asked you about being new to the team, right? Has there been sort of a vet in here, say, like Zach Wheeler? Mm-hmm. What's it been like getting a chance to work with him?
It's been great. I mean, just watching him, how he goes about his business, and just kind of here and there being able to pick his brain, you know, what he thinks, how he goes about game days and how he preps his body and little things like that, you know, what he might think of during a certain situation. Just being able to watch him work, throw with him a little bit. It's been awesome so far, and obviously, you know, the proof is in the work and what he's able to do throughout his career. So I'm excited to see more and more of him and the rest of the guys as well.
What's it been like working with Caleb Cotham? You know, he's done a great job of getting these guys to reach kind of their full potential. What's it been like working with the Phil's pitching coach?
It's been great. You know, I think the whole staff that they have around him and him with his group, it's been great. You know, they're not overbearing. They don't throw too much at you, but at the same time, they want to get the best out of you, like you said. So it's a good mix of just the right amount of coaching and just the right amount of, you know, kind of laid back and let you do your thing, which I love. I think that we have a lot of talent here, so they have that right mix of letting that talent work, but at the same time, you know, trying to get the most out of us.
You're a strikeout pitcher. So what is I've always been interested in like the chess game and the mindset of going against a hitter and thinking that you want to strike him out. Is it how much of it is a guessing game? How much of it is intimidation? How much of it is you just throwing the pitch you want to throw? What is the mindset when you go in and you want to do something like that?
I would love early contact any point of a game, but if I need to go out and get a strikeout, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it's knowing, you know, where you can go find a strike early. Obviously, lean on my strengths more than their strengths, more than their weaknesses, I guess you could say. If I need to lean on something specific, I'm gonna find the pitch that I throw and I feel the most confident in, and a pitch that I have conviction in. But you know, when we get to two strikes, it's, you know, like we say, we smell blood in the water. So that's when you kind of get that extra kind of boost, and that's when you find the wipeout pitch to wipe them out with.
Any trash talk?
I think everyone has an edge. I think the best pitchers have a way, and, you know, athletes in general, I think you have to find a way to get an edge against the other team. Some guys are more, you know, they have to make up an edge against the hitter or against the pitcher. Some guys are a little more laid back, like Ranger Suarez. You know, he's just kind of a silent killer.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's other guys that have to find that edge. I feel like I need to find a little bit of an edge, have a little animosity between me and the hitter. But, you know, once that at-bat's over, it's nothing personal. It's more of just me on the mound. That's the mentality I take.
Now, you've been in this division, so you know these guys as opponents. They're your teammates now. What made this team sort of attractive to you and made you want to be a part of this team?
I mean, the talent, the success, the track record that they've had in the previous years, you know, making it to the playoffs. Also, they have a great track record of keeping their pitchers healthy. And obviously, they have a lot of workhorses. You got Wheeler and Nola, who's thrown, I think, 200 innings for, it seems like, forever. So something about them just kind of, you know, caught my eye. Obviously, going against them, playing in Philly always, the atmosphere has been great. So it's something that, you know, you always want to play in front of passionate fans as well. And that's something that I think everyone that puts a jersey on wants to do.
Yeah, because you started game one in 2023. What can you kind of remember about walking into Citizens Bank Park that day?
Yeah, I mean, I remember my family was in town. We were walking around. I think I went to Reading Terminal Market, and you could just feel like the energy of the city was alive. And you could just feel, you know, going to the ballpark. And then when I first stepped out to start warming up, you could just hear all the boos just coming from all over the place. And I loved it. I mean, I just, you know, playing that villain role, being, you know, getting booed, you know, there's a reason why they're booing you. So I loved it. I had a great time. But obviously now I'm more excited to be on the home side for it.
Has anyone on the team talked to you about the fans? Because we, you know, we can be great fans, and then also we have a history of being difficult if things aren't going our way. Have you had that conversation with anybody yet?
Yeah, I mean, everyone says it. You know, the fans let you know if you're doing well or you're doing bad.
Yeah.
they'll make sure to let you know. But at the end of the day, I respect it. You know, I mean, I was a fan growing up. You know, I still am a fan of the game and of multiple sports, and I feel the same way, you know. So for me, you know, I like the Dolphins growing up. So I get frustrated when the Dolphins aren't doing well. And so I understand the fan side, and I respect it. You know, if I'm not doing well, I deserve to get booed. So I don't take it to heart. And if anything, it motivates me to be better.
We're in Clearwater with Phillies lefty Jesus Luzardo. You mentioned that the Phillies have been able to keep their guys healthy, and you've gone through some injury stuff throughout your career. Is it something when you're pitching that I know I would get anxious about it, right? Every time I feel a little thing, you know, I'd wonder if that was something. Is it something that you think about when you're out there? And if it isn't, how do you work to put that out of your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a lot of repetition and work to just kind of get past that. Last year with the back, you know, my last five or six starts, it was a grind every time out. And this year, you know, coming back, just it wasn't even in the back of my mind. Just so much work and practice went into the offseason that when I got on the mound, I didn't even think of it. Definitely, I think you're a little more you notice certain things. You know, you notice certain things. Hey, I felt this before. I haven't felt this before. And it kind of creeps into the back of your mind. But at the end of the day, when you're on the mound, all you can do is compete. So it's just you turn into that fight or flight mode where I got to do whatever it takes to get out of this inning. And, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what you feel. You feel like you can't let your teammates down. So for me, that's what I think. But thankfully, everything's been feeling really well, and I don't, you know, don't have any issues so far.
What's the sense in the clubhouse? I know it's still early in spring training. We had a difficult ending to the season last year, losing to the Mets in that divisional round. I'm wondering what the sort of the mindset of the clubhouse and of the team is going into this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's been really positive. Everyone's feeling, you know, excited about this year, looking forward to this year. You know, we think we have a great team, a lot of talent. Most guys are coming back from last year. And, yeah, I think everyone's looking at it with a positive outlook and obviously frustrated with how last year ended, you know, from what I've understood and from what I see. But I don't think that, you know, that's in the back of anyone's minds. And I think, you know, every time we take the field, we think that we're the best field, we're the best team out there.
Your first spring training start was electric. I think I watched it three times.
Yeah, it
was
talked about it a lot.
Yeah, it's like top of mind.
Yeah.
Kind of freaking out. You know, up to 98 is beautiful. What was – it looks like you have kind of worked on your changeup a little bit more. Like, have you developed that pitch more this offseason to kind of go with the fastball and have, like, a nice 7-8 mile an hour difference on those pitches?
Yeah, I mean, I think early in my career I was just – you know, my last couple years in Miami, we did more of it, and we developed my changeup more. But early in my career, it was just kind of grip it and rip it, let my stuff play, and try to overpower people. Now it's understanding that I don't just need to lean on my fastball, my slider. You know, I could have a changeup that – growing up, my changeup was always great. Kind of got away from it. Now kind of getting it back into, you know, having more pitches in an arsenal where I can if certain pitch isn't working that day or certain pitch doesn't work against a certain guy, I'm able to lean on other ones and, you know, kind of find a – different way of getting guys out.
My arms used to look like that back in the day. Yeah, when I was 27. I'm just looking at him, right? He looks good, man.
Yeah,
like, did you come out of the gym?
Yeah. No, I wish.
Oh man, it looks that's not even a work. I have to work out right there. That's pretty.
That's
good.
A pro athlete you're sitting next to right there. Yeah. So I'm sure you've told this story before. I'm sure you've been asked about it, but it's our first time with you. So you broke your finger punching the table when you played a video game in 21. So there's two things I need to know. One, three things. What was the video game? Two, do you still play it? And three, what is it with baseball players and kicking stuff and punching stuff and injuring themselves? Because it's only baseball players.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it wasn't a video game.
Okay.
It was more of life happened, and that's something that we kind of came out and said. And I went back, and obviously I talked to my teammates, and I had, you know, apologized to them. I felt like I had let them down. And I was young. I think I was 22.
Yeah.
Stupid. You know, obviously a mistake. And I look back at it, and, you know, everything happens for a reason. And I truthfully regret it. And because that day I actually took the mound, broke my hand, went to the manager, was like, I did something stupid. But I need to come out, and I'm not going to, you know, let the bullpen wear this. And he's like, all right, let me out there. Obviously,
So you pitched with the broken hand.
Yeah, pitched with the broken hand.
Wow.
Didn't go well, obviously.
Yeah.
My hand was black and blue, and it was huge. But I had felt like I had let my teammates down, and I, you know, apologized to them, said, hey, guys, you know, this is my fault. But that's, you know, that's what I said. I was young and nervous and didn't know how to come about it. And then now that I've grown from it, I've learned, you know, obviously – If life happens and things kind of start spiraling emotionally, just handle it differently. Don't hit the ground. I was just kind of angry at something, and that's what happened. And now looking back at it, I was able to now I can keep my emotions way more in check.
Now it makes me question every baseball story I've ever heard about what actually happened.
Well, I will say, I would say 90% of the things that come out on headlines are probably lies.
Oh, wow. Wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't tell him. Tell him too many secrets.
So can I ask you four quick ones before we let you go?
Yeah.
All right. Phillies lefty Jesus Luzardo with us in Clearwater. First of all, dog guy or cat guy?
Dog.
And grow up with a dog or?
No, I have two dogs now.
Okay.
An Australian Shepherd and a French Bulldog.
Okay. All right.
Nice. Frenchies, man.
Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome. I got one of those.
Yeah. That's
a lot of
him
energy.
Right there.
Yeah.
A lot of energy.
One food for the rest of your life. It's the only thing you can eat. Now you obviously have to keep, I want you to think about it. You keep your job too. So,
Does Chipotle count?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Rice and beans?
Yeah, you can pick one dish at Chipotle.
Okay,
yeah.
Rice, beans, and steak. That's
yeah.
it.
Okay, all right.
That's a vegan.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
yeah. Look at him.
Look, hey.
I don't judge.
Yeah, all right.
I wouldn't get the tofu, but I don't judge.
Yeah, he says he does 250 push-ups a day.
I do.
Does this look like a guy that does 250?
At 50 a clip. It's not 250 in a row.
That's
like,
fair.
Jesus looks like he can do
five sets of 50, maybe?
Yes, I can do five sets of 50.
That's fair.
I'll do it right here for you.
All right,
next. All right. You have to watch one movie for the rest of your life. What is it?
Probably Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, a little before your time, too.
Yeah. I actually watched it for the first time this offseason, and I fell in love with that movie.
Oh, it's a good flick.
Yep.
And last one, you can only listen to one album for the rest of your life.
That's a tough one. Man. Probably like a Fleetwood Mac, the one that Dreams is on.
Oh, yeah. The Rumors.
Yeah, Rumors.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of an old
soul.
Yeah.
Jack there, he was a college pitcher, Jack.
Some say.
Hard to tell.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Doing a little analysis, what kind of pitcher do you think he was?
Right-hander.
Yeah.
Probably.
A little bulky.
I would say, probably like 89, 91, sinker cutter.
Sure. We'll go with that.
That's a compliment.
Yep.
Yeah, he'll take
it. That's what he said.
He'll take it.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, we love to have you on the team, and we appreciate your time down here. And good luck, man. Knock him dead.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Jesus Lizardo from Philly.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz, live from Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz at Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater at Philly Spring Training with Philly's first baseman, or influencer now, Bryce Harper.
Yep, here I am.
The TikTok video seemed like they came out of nowhere. What was the motivation to start doing that? I was like, I can't believe this guy does this much cooking and stuff at home.
Yeah, I love to cook, man. I do. I enjoy it. I was doing it, so I was like, let's see what people think. And the first views got like 3 million views on it.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. And, people started reaching out and seeing if I wanted to do it. And, it's been tough in spring, obviously, when you get back to work and you're so focused on that. I've been cooking still, but the video stuff and the editing, I'm just like, all right, we'll figure it out whenever I can. But I enjoy it. I enjoy cooking for my family and obviously my body and things like that, taking care of it, doing it the right way. So it's been fun.
I was a little jealous. I was like, this guy's making coffee and it looks interesting. I have to think so hard about being interesting, and you're natural, man. You're good at it.
TikTok's great, man. You can learn a lot of stuff. It's crazy, like the recipes and the people and all the stuff. They put step by step kind of what you need to do, and I can type in whatever food I want to do, and it's just like, all right, here we go. People have done it before, and so I just try to follow it the best I can, and it's been pretty good. Some have been bad, some have been good, and kids like it, so we'll be good.
You're so right about TikTok.
I discovered
TikTok like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, you get lost, bro.
Yeah. and I've been locked in on it ever since, man. You're right. I mean, and there are a lot of different chefs and cooks on TikTok.
I mean, you can do your barbecue stuff.
Yeah.
You can do, oven. Anything, like air fryer, all that stuff. It's you get all your little recipes, and I know it's kind of crazy, but it's good stuff.
So we know you like to do that in your spare time, like during the off season. Anything else you're into?
I like to fish. It's fun, especially in spring training. I think that's really one thing that I do a lot, right off the dock, and it's great with the kids too. They love being outside, and that's about it.
Now fishing, right? Sitting out there, chance to sort of clear your mind, be
it's
more relaxing, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Just being out with the kids, it's okay. That's the biggest thing. They love being on the dock and hanging out and looking at fish and throwing rocks in the water, right?
Yeah.
Seeing how far they can throw it or how far they can skip.
That's right, skipping rocks.
That's right. They love that.
I don't know if Jack ever skipped rocks.
Yeah, dude. He's this generation too busy playing video games.
Listen, you get a little Chad Bradford. You can make that thing
skip. That's right.
All right. Can you believe you're halfway through your deal this year?
I know. That's crazy. Ken Rosenthal just told me that. That's wild.
Has it lived up to everything you thought? Like, what would you tell yourself when you signed, about Bryce Harper now?
Yeah, from my side, obviously, it's been great. My family's been – it's been really fun. And just the relationships I've gained in this clubhouse, and from, you know, our clubhouse staff to our chefs to our trainers to the workers at the stadium to, I mean, fans, everything. I mean, I think it's been great. Obviously, you know, we haven't done what we wanted to do in these 6 years, but from a personal side, just away from the game and everything, it's been a lot of good.
You should know the moment that you signed. It was it was such a big moment for us that we all remember exactly at the radio station where we were standing, how everyone reacted. It was a big moment for us too. You know, when I say us, I mean fans.
Now, we're being honest. We spent the early portion of the day saying he's not coming.
Yes.
We basically had given up on.
Well, it took a long time.
It did. I mean, going through the whole process was crazy. I mean, it's. I didn't think it was going to take that long, but there weren't too many teams that we really talked to. Obviously, we talked to the White Sox and San Diego, San Fran, L.A. late. We had conversations with, I guess I won't say, but those four or five teams were really into it. But, then later on, obviously, San Diego signs Machado, so San Fran comes in. They all made me the same offer. Chicago was a little higher, things like that. But I just felt Philly was it. I mean, once I, you know, kind of met with John and Lee and, you know, Kapler, obviously, meeting with him. I mean, he kind of sold me a little bit on it, too. So, I mean, obviously, Reese and a lot of guys that were here. I just saw the dynamic. I saw kind of where the organization was going and what they wanted to do. And so it's been great. I mean, the day I signed, or the day before I signed, I remember standing in front or inside my house in my closet, and I had my Phillies bag already packed, and it had a Phillies P on it, and it was sitting on the thing. And Scott called me. I was like, "Hey, San Fran came in." I was like, "I'm a Philly, like for sure." And he was like, hold on. I was like, no, like, we're going to the Phillies. Like, my bag's already packed. Like, I'm ready to go. And so the next day we flew out, and we're here in Clearwater. So, it's been good.
With Bryce Harper in Clearwater for Philly spring training. I didn't expect to talk about Gabe Kapler, actually, but you just – well, you brought up the name. It was actually – when I'm looking back from an electricity and conversation standpoint for the Phillies, it really was you and him. You know, like, we – he was the first manager in forever that was interesting and that we could fight about all the time. There was the curveball machine moment, you know, all that stuff. So it was definitely a moment in time that I think we'll always remember. It certainly started off your career here in an interesting way.
Yeah, I enjoyed Cap. I mean, obviously, like, fans and media, and it was tough, you know, baseball wise and things like that. But as a person and professional and stuff like that, like, I enjoyed him. I mean, I thought he was a really cool person and a good player manager, I guess. He took care of us and just didn't work out. Obviously, he's doing his own thing down in Miami now, so I wish him all the best.
So last year when we talked to you, it was pretty clear that you, and when we talked to Trey, and everybody was very intent on starting off strong, winning the division, you know, obviously win a World Series, but that was in your sights. And you did that, you know, you won the division, you started off strong, that season didn't end the way you wanted. Coming into this year, how do you approach having done that now and looking at figuring out the right way to approach this season based on sort of how last year worked out?
I just want to win the last game of the year. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the biggest thing. Obviously, get into the postseason and win the last game of the year. I mean, there's no other thing that, like, our mind should be on besides that. I mean, I think as a team and organization, as we come into spring training every year, you're wanting to win and you're wanting to succeed. But I want to win that last game. I mean, I think everybody's mindset should be that. We have a really good opportunity. Our pitching staff's incredible. I mean, Sanchi was throwing 98 yesterday, the other day. Lizardo's throwing 98 the other day with plus off-speed stuff. Ranger's doing his thing. Alvarado looks great. Jordan Romano, huge upside guy. He threw well the other day. I mean, we got a really good sense of what type of team we are. Obviously, as an offense, we can always be better. Cutting down our strikeouts, playing the game a little bit better in big situation, big moments, big spots, getting guys over, things like that, not relying so heavily on the homer. Obviously, that's the thing that we're going to do. We're going to bang. But knowing that we need to kind of you know, round off the edges a little bit and get a little bit better in the batter's box as a team and as an organization. I think that's huge. So, just winning that last game. I mean, I think that's the goal. I think that's the ultimate thing that we need to do as a team and as an organization. And just got to get to work.
For ball players, you just mentioned about the approach at the plate. For yourself, do you think that's going to be challenging for you? Like, you've been approaching the game a certain way. You feel comfortable with that? And B, in general, when you get older players that have been doing it a certain way for so long, how difficult is that to sort of change your mindset and your approach?
Yeah, I mean, I think as a on an individual, you know, I say my OBP and my or my OPS and my OBP always needs to be high. If that's high, then, you know, I'll be right where I need to be. And I think that kind of takes care of everything else. You know, if your OPS and your OBP is high, then I think, you know, you're good in all those other spots. From a team standpoint, we just got to adapt. You know, I think obviously we're going to hit the homer. I mean, it's just, I think that's something that we do. We're going to hit the homer. We're going to hit a lot of doubles and score a lot of runs. But we just got to understand that, you know, in big moments, big situations, we can't try to do too much and just got to play our game.
You're a guy that's very aware of what the front office is doing. Were you satisfied with how they approached this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't talk too much with anybody this offseason with that kind of stuff. It was just kind of, hey, we're going to do our thing, and, you know, let's do your thing, Dave. You know, I think we have all the trust in him to do what he needs to do. And, you know, I thought Jordan was great, a great ad for us, huge upside guy. He's kind of nuts, so that's also good. I think he's going to fit right in with everybody around. But, you know, Lizardo too. I mean, I was pumped about the Lizardo thing because when you face him in Miami, it's not fun. I mean, their pitching staff in Miami, everybody talks about, oh, the Marlins are bad. Like, their pitching staff's always good. And so, you know, I wonder if they asked for Sandy first and then said, hey, let's get Lizardo too. That would have been nice. But, you know, getting Lizardo, man, it's been a lot of fun. He's an absolute stud, and I don't like facing him, so I'm glad he's on our team.
There's, especially with the not one change really in the lineup, we talk about, a lot of people talk about, maybe even too much, where everybody hits in the lineup. Can you explain from your perspective as a hitter, what is the difference for you between hitting, you said you've hit second, you've hit third, you've hit fourth. What is the difference for you hitting in those different spots in the lineup?
For me, in the three spot or the four, you just got a little bit more time to kind of watch the approach of guys in front of you. I like that, seeing pitches. When I was in D.C., I hit a lot of, behind Jason Wirth, and, you know, he saw a lot of pitches in his whole career. He was always seeing a lot of pitches, so I enjoyed that. Same thing with Rendon. I enjoyed that as well. So being a little bit deeper, you get to see a little bit more. But, I mean, when they put me in the four spot in the 22, I mean, I was totally fine with that. I think it was like, was it Schwarber, Reese, JT, I think, and then me. I think that's what it was, in the postseason that year. So I was totally fine with that. And then I hit two a little bit too early in my career as well in D.C. I think I hit two maybe here a little bit and let off a little bit too in 19 or 18. That was 18. I don't know. But, I mean, just a different dynamic, I guess, just seeing pitches and seeing guys in front of you hit a little bit more. But I told Tomper, I said to him, I don't really care. I mean, wherever you want to put me, obviously I'm comfortable in the three and the four and the two, like whatever you want to do.
So. Is there something real to the, or is this just something that like media and fans talk about? If you're hitting two, having more good hitters behind you as like protection, is that a real thing? Do you feel like you get more pitches to hit if there's guys behind you that are a little more threatening?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a 29-30% strike guy usually. So I'm not really sure. I think it's kind of been that way my whole career. You know, it's just like if we go into Atlanta and we circle the name on Acuna, or we go into LA and we circle Freddie Freeman's name and or Shohei, like, you're not going to let those guys beat you. Same thing with Lindor going into, you know, New York. So I think it just depends on what team you're playing, depending on who they're going to pick of which guy you're going to circle and not let them beat you.
Yeah, you just mentioned some of those other teams. This is a pretty good division. It was pretty good last year. Three teams made it. I'll be surprised if the same three don't make it again this year. When you look at this division, how do you feel like you got to stack up with what New York did this offseason, bringing in Soto? And then, obviously, you look at what team? I think
the
Atlanta. Yeah, I think Atlanta not having Acuna, but they're going to have him back this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to get Strider back too, and they'll find somebody in their farm system that throws 98 to 100, snaps off a curveball or a changeup, and you're sitting there going, golly, who's this guy? Cranny's doing it again.
Where did he come from?
Exactly. So I think that's just kind of how the East is, man. It's the NL East always has been that way, I feel like. It's always been a pretty good juggernaut throughout my career, and just depends on how everybody's playing, staying healthy, understanding that the Mets are going to be good, and you know the Braves are going to be good, and obviously the teams out west, and you can never count on a lot of teams that are in this game. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, Spencer Strider's coming back too, so you know it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. You know, it's you never know what's going to happen. So that's the great thing about baseball.
Did you watch? Obviously, you watched the Eagles Super Bowl. Do you feel any extra like motivation off of what they did and like seeing the parade down Broad Street and like envisioning that could be you?
Yeah, it's sick. I mean, why would you not want it? You know, anytime that you're able to win, and especially in the city of, you know, brotherly love, man, it's I heard it's the best thing in the world. So I heard that all through my career with Jason. I mean, that's all he talked about, you know. So all those guys come back, that's what they talk about a lot, man. But also they always say, just you're your own team. Be your own team. Go in there. Do your thing. So if I didn't say I wasn't excited to hopefully do that one day, I'd be nuts, because that was pretty electric.
Jason Worth got the whole experience here. He got to be hero, and then he left, and then he got to be villain. But we love him, though. You know, that was a villain with love, you know, deep in our heart. If you put us on a lie detector,
we love Jason. Every time Jada would come in, I swear he'd hit a homer to left center and just walk around the base. Like, it was just like the love hate thing, and it was kind of empty at that time too. So he was like, he'd always tell me, like, man, you just don't get it, like, you don't get it yet, like, this place is electric when it's, you know, when it's filled, and you know, 45,000 people in here, there's nothing like it. So it was pretty cool hearing his stories about, you know, Chooch and Utley and Rollins and Aaron Rowan and all those guys, man. It's pretty cool.
Your goal is to win a World Series. That no question that is what you're focused on. The core of this team, you know, guys are older than 30. A couple of guys with deals coming up real soon, Schwarber and JT and Castellanos. Is there a moment where you think about that core and say, hey, as a group, this could be our last chance as a group to get something like this done if we don't? Is that something that goes through your mind?
I think there's realness in that. I mean, I don't think anybody can sit here and say it's not a possibility, you know, not being able to have those guys in the clubhouse next year. We got a great opportunity this year. You know, I don't want anybody to think that, you know, those guys won't be back or it's not a possibility. Obviously it is. We have some really good guys in the minor leagues that are coming up too, so you just never know. But we have a really cool opportunity to go out, you know, the right way with this group and finish the job per se, and you know, get it done.
Still got the same level or even greater level of excitement about being here, Phillies, you know, taking your team to up north and getting the season started?
Hell yeah. I mean, I can't wait. Like, there's nothing like it. I mean, everybody, you know, this, that, and the other, but there's nothing like going and playing in the bank, man. I've loved every moment going out there, the good and the bad. Obviously, the main goal is, like you said, to win, and winning that last game and doing things the right way. But putting on the Philly P every day, man, and going in there playing for the Phillies, just seeing the vibe in the stadium and in the city and everything else, it's there's nothing like it.
So before we let you go, we have to ask you about the Fanatic tattoo, right? So I was talking with Ike about it on the air last week, and he mentioned he's got to fill it in, because he was like, I'm jealous because white guys, they can get more color on their tattoos. Or do you have plans?
Just a light-skinned brother.
I did say, yeah, I know.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, first of all, how long had you been thinking about it? And second of all, any plans for color?
Nah, I won't go color on it.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Oh, see, can I tell you, in real life, the black and gray, like the detail comes, looks. You see more of it in real life than on the photos.
Yeah. I wanted it to be like when I hit, you can kind of see it, and then he's kind of like riding off my arm.
There you go.
I don't know. I just didn't want to do the color.
It looks good
on you.
Oh,
the color and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really where I got it from. Yes.
Yeah. No, it's, I don't know. I've been wanting it for a while. I just wasn't sure what I kind of wanted the Fanatic to do, and I was like, man, him on his ATV is like
there you
just
go.
Iconic. So,
He's with me for life, man. Be buried with me.
Those
crazy.
Those little fine line black and gray ones are cool.
Yeah,
my
like,
wife has
I
one
like
of her
fine
dog.
Line, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been good. I like it. So.
Man. All right, man. Well.
Mine too.
Yeah. Well, man, last year didn't end the way that you guys wanted, the way that anybody wanted, but you still got, as you mentioned, you guys have a great team, and we're expecting a lot, as we always are, and we're excited to see you in the games for real very soon.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody should expect a lot. You know, I think that's the thing when you play. I mean, it's just the expectation should be there, you know, as individuals and as a team. So fan base, everybody, they should all expect, you know, greatness out of all of us and to win. So we just got to do it.
There he is, Bryce Harper.
Appreciate it, brother.
Cool. Thanks, y'all.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show live from Clearwater, Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're in Clearwater. On an off day here at Bay Care Ballpark with Trey Turner. Thanks for making the time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yep. So it's funny, we're watching you guys work out a little bit on the field, and it's funny to go from, you know, we just got through Eagle season, and we watch Eagles training camp, which is almost like military, and then you watch baseball spring training, and the seasons are just way different. I was thinking about what it would be like if baseball had a 17-game season.
Yeah. I was going to say, we play every day, so,
yeah.
You know, I mean.
You have to pace yourself.
Not that they're not important. Obviously, they're all important, but, yeah, it's different mindset. I think too, from that, you know, watching football the last couple of years, that switch you have to turn on for game day, you know, you got to get ready to go out there and lay everything on the line. And, you know, we're competing just at the same height, but at the physical aspect's a little different. So, you know, I think that's the main difference I've seen, is just how we compete is so different. And, I think that's what makes the sports beautiful.
Yeah. How is it? Like, it's really interesting to me to make every game important, but also know that you have to play again tomorrow. And try to find that balance in between treating every game as if it's important, but almost not too important.
Yeah, 100%. I think don't get too high, don't get too low. For me, that's why I feel like I try to work hard, try to put in the right prep, and be consistent in that aspect, and then just play the game. And knowing you're not going to be perfect, you're going to have some bad days and whatnot. But over a course of a season, all that work you put in each and every day. You'll probably come out ahead if you're doing those right things. And, you know, that's where I'm at. And I think that's where a lot of us are. Is I think we got a lot of veterans and a lot of professionals that we work hard. We do our work, and then we have fun when we can. But, you know, first and foremost, we're working.
So I know you guys were former teammates, right? You and Max Scherzer. Mm-hmm. Was there a part of you that was a little nervous about hitting with the challenge the other day?
No. I was just messing with him. I know he hates it, so I was hoping he threw the first pitch right down the middle, and I was going to challenge it regardless, just to mess with him. And I think he's a little confused. He laughed it off. So, you know, for me, the ABS is pretty cool, but it's hard to focus on for me personally when I know we're not going to have it in the season. So it's like, you know, why do I even challenge her? If I get, you know, screwed on a call in the middle of the season, it's not like I can fix it. So, why practice any other way, in my opinion?
I thought it was a great moment between a couple of friends, gamesmanship, but the idea of baseball changing things. So, you know, I know it's a little test run this year, but they've made some changes over the last couple of years that I know I was hesitant and reluctant to buy into, but it seemingly has made the game a little more enjoyable, at least for the fans. I'm wondering, from a player's perspective, do you like some of the things that they have done to sort of make the game, I guess, a little more update, a little more fan-friendly?
Yeah, for sure.
From a viewership standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, for me, nobody wants to stand out there for 4 or 5 hours and just watch a slow game. We want to play, too. And I understand there's an art to that in baseball, and there's strategy and all that. But at first, I wasn't for the pitch clock. And then now, you know, having it implemented in and seeing how we've adjusted, I think it would be weird to go back, you know. So there's a right way to do everything. And I think you just got to think about it. You got to discuss it with players and ownership and MLB and just do it right. And you know, I think we've proven we're open to certain things. But at the same time, we want to be able to perform at, you know, our highest abilities, and we want to play the same game we did, you know, as a kid for the most part, and it's just a little adjustment period.
I think you have to give the league and the players credit, too, for being open to that change, too, especially because baseball, I think more than any other sport, is steeped in its, we do it this way, you know, it's tradition, which is good, I think is good, but I agree with Ike, I think the changes have been good so far.
I mean, sometimes we don't have a choice, you know, I don't want to say we're all for everything, but we got to adjust, and some of the things we're not super happy about, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, the other team has to deal with the same thing. So it's, you know, how can you strategize and use those to your advantage or their disadvantage and different things like that. So, like I said, we're always competing. We love it. That's why we're here, is to compete and try to win. And sometimes there's little obstacles here or there. But we adjusted, and I think it's, you know, it's been for the better for the most part.
I know you said the birth of your third child. Mm-hmm. Me, dad guy as well.
Nice.
Do professional athletes get dad brain? Like, because I feel like an idiot since I had my
man.
2 months. Like, are you tired?
Well, I have done nothing because my family's not with me, so I feel really bad for my wife. She's got,
it's actually just like Jack.
Three. She's got three by herself right now at home, so I feel bad for her. I know she's grinding over there, but You know, my kids are good. They're good kids, and they're definitely high energy and crazy. But the oldest one does well in school, and the youngest one's starting to learn too. So it's been fun watching them grow, and we'll be done at three. Three's a lot. But I'm excited to see them. They're coming over soon, and I'm excited to see them. I haven't seen them in a while.
It's a WIP afternoon show in Clearwater with Trey Turner. So when you came here last year and we spoke to you and spoke to a couple of other players, it seemed like the mission for everybody was, hey, let's get off to a great start. Let's win the division, which you did, which you achieved, but then didn't achieve, you know, ultimately playoff-wise. Is there anything that you learned from how you prepared last year, how last season went, and that you're taking into this year and the preparation for this season?
Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, I think, I want to speak for players. I think we know, like, whoever plays well at the end of the year has got a good chance to win the World Series. So playing well in June, July, and earlier months, it's great because you want to win that division, but it's hard to play really good baseball for 8 straight months. Everyone's going to go through a little spell of bad baseball and different things and injuries and whatnot. And we had some of those things, and it just didn't seem like at the end we could pull ourselves out of it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Where in years past we were peaking, you know, at the end of the season. So it's hard. It's hard to be like, we need to win this game right now, and it's, you know, April 20th, and then knowing we want to play on November 1st. You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to see the big picture and the small picture at the same time. I like to keep it one day at a time. I like to focus on today. I want to have fun today. I want to work hard today, try to get better, try to win at whatever that means, and then we'll move on to tomorrow. So I think that one day at a time kind of deal, is as boring as it is, I think that's the only way to play baseball for a long season, be pretty good, try to win a division, try to get home field advantage, and then also play deep into the postseason. And you know, it's hard too. I think it's understated. Like, everyone at the end of the year is playing good baseball. They didn't get there by accident. So I think we're more than capable to beat anybody, but we got to do it. And, you know, last year we fell short.
And this is more to say, because, like, fans in here, they're like, hold on, what do you mean? The beginning of the season doesn't matter as much, so they may interpret it the wrong way. You go out there and try to win every game.
Without a doubt.
The results may not be what you want, and so you don't necessarily allow early results to get you down if they aren't exactly
what you want. I mean more of your reaction, right?
Yes.
Like, you lose a game in – you know, April, you're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. You know, I didn't want to lose. Obviously, we tried everything we could to win the game, but it's how you react to that loss. Whereas you lose a game in September and you need that win, it's more devastating. So as you go on, obviously, the way the games feel more for us as players and probably staff and managers and whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I mean, we are trying to win every single game. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. Every game is very important. It's just how you react to them early on. You're like, all right, we'll get them tomorrow. We'll get them tomorrow. But, you know, if you do that too much, you kind of dig yourself that hole, you know?
Sure.
So there's a balance to everything. And
yep.
I think that's why the veteran presence is big to know. You know, you can weather storms. You know, losing a game here or there is all right. Did we learn something? What can we do better? And then build on that.
So the big story seemingly out of camp so far is you possibly going back to the leadoff spot and being this team's leadoff hitter. You know, is that something that excites you? And do you think it can take your game even to another level, getting back to that spot?
Yeah, I haven't done it in a long time. Last time I done it was 2019. Had a good year for me. I think... I said this before, and we all say it, and we'll hit wherever Rob wants us to, wherever the coaching staff wants us to. We'll hit wherever because we want to win. We don't care. So, you know, if that is leadoff, it's 2, 3. I hit 8, you know, a couple years ago. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. But but yeah, we'll hit wherever, and you know, that does excite me in the sense of maybe I can run a little more, score some more runs. You know, the last couple of years, I'm trying to, you know, drive the ball a little bit more, and not that I won't do that if I do lead off, but you know, that getting on first with no one in front of me type deal to lead off a game, I think, can put a lot of pressure on the other team. And maybe we can have some big innings early on. Maybe not bigger, but big innings early on and kind of get downhill early on. So I'm excited if it happens. I'll be excited if I hit wherever, though. I'm just excited to be back and I love the game, love playing. And, you know, I think we've got a good squad.
Is there pressure to try to see more pitches when you're hitting leadoff?
I think there's a little bit to it. I wouldn't say pressure, but I think you're definitely a little more selective just by trade. You know, you're probably taking the first pitch of the game. Obviously, you know, guys like Kyle, and I've even done in the past where you swing at that first pitch is a really good one to hit. But, you know, you're kind of taking the first pitch of the game, and, you know, I think that helps you get into the at-bat a little bit more, see if a few more pitches and get your timing down. So I wouldn't call it pressure, but I think there's some strategy to it for sure.
Last year, you were going great. You had the hamstring injury, and I think you even mentioned this, but you could actually see that you were hesitant to go full when the hamstring injury happened. And that's an injury that is tough because it can feel normal, and then all of a sudden you tweak it and it's gone. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally eventually get past that worry and past like feeling a twinge and thinking it's there?
Yeah,
again?
Exactly. I mean, you kind of said it's like every little thing you're like, oh no, is it again? You know, and I think it's just a day by day thing where you push a little more, you push a little more. You're trying to be smart about it, but you're also, you know, playing in a Major League Baseball game. It's like, you know, you got to be prepared to play. So I always felt like I could play, you know, at 80-90% speed. You know, if I had to slow down, I always felt like I could really impact the game still. I could hit, play some defense, do different things, even run the bases smart, and make some good decisions. So I always felt like I could play a little lower, but each day that goes by, you're like, oh, I ran that one out. And I think we have so much technology now, you can see how fast I was actually running. So I was like, oh, I was running, you know, pretty much my normal speed, so I shouldn't worry. And it just comes with confidence, but that's with anybody. That's a pitcher with an arm injury. That's anybody dealing with anything. You gotta build back that confidence a little bit, and it took me a little while. But, you know, now we're passing. It's good to go.
You and Bryce both have a bunch of years left on your contract, but a lot of the vets don't, right?
Yep.
Up at the end of this year, up at the end of next year. You guys have had some good runs but haven't gotten it done. Overall, do you ever think about, hey, if we don't go deep, this could be the last time that these guys are here together?
Nope, never. I've never thought about that. I just heard that a day or two ago for the first time.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I think we got a great group of guys. We got some young players that are still around. I trust, you know, John and Dave to keep adding pieces when we need them. I mean, we just traded for Lizardo, Wheeler and Nola. I mean, we got so many good players. There's no reason to not think we can win for a long time, and that's my look at it. I mean, in Washington, we tried to win for a long, long time. I mean, teams can do it. It may not always be the same faces. I hope it is, because I love all the guys here. But for me, it's I don't even worry about stuff like that. It's not my job. I want to win, and whoever we got, you know, wearing this uniform, I think we're excited about, and we want to, you know, accept and come together and be a baseball team. So thought never crosses my mind.
I'm wondering for yourself, third year here with the organization. First year didn't get off to the start that you wanted it to get off to. I thought last year you looked like the Trey Turner as advertised before your injury. I'm wondering how much – post-injury did contribute to sort of some of your tell-off from where you were in the first half, and can we expect to see that Trey Turner we saw the first half of last year this year with you?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think since I've been here, I've played really, really well and pretty bad to my standard, so it's kind of raising that floor, you know. I think the good times are going to be there, so now when it's going bad, can I, you know, turn that 0-for-10 into a 2-for-10, or, you know, those things, or can I make a couple more plays here or there? And I think that's very easy to do, or very easy to, you know, ask of me, which I've done in the past, and put together a complete season. I like playing every day. I like the challenge, so you know, I'm excited for it, but I feel like it's a lot of talking always, and it's,
yeah,
you know, it's I'm over the talking, over all that. So
I understand. We understand it. Yep.
Just play good baseball and win and have some fun and see where it takes us.
All right, Trey, three quick ones before we let you go. They're quick. First one, city you most look forward to visiting during the season, and the one that you least look forward to visiting during the season.
man, I think it depends on the year, but I don't know. I like going to new places. So, I mean, I always say San Diego's fun to go to just because it's a good city, good food, good weather, good
beautiful
park, all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so that one's easy. But it was interesting going to Seattle last year, or fun going to Seattle. Never been there, first time in my career. So that was kind of a cool bucket list there. And then Worst.
You want me to just let you off the hook on that one?
I don't know. I got. I
don't say Cincinnati.
Just say Cincinnati.
Don't say Cincinnati.
I only want to say Cincinnati because Kyle will have a meltdown if you say this. Kyle will lose his mind. So that's a fun one for me. But no, I mean, I think it's hard to pick a bad city in the major leagues. You know, you're living the life. But
well, Cleveland's pretty bad. So
yeah, I was gonna say
I'm an Ohio kid.
Food,
so yes.
Yeah, bad food. It's hard to beat or a bad hotel. Sometimes, like when you go to a bad hotel, you're like, this is no fun.
And you'll be there for 3 days.
So I mean, we're spoiled. So
do you read your social media mentions?
No, I don't. I don't do anything.
And then finally, rank the following Starburst colors from best to worst: red, yellow, pink, orange.
Best to worst.
Best to worst.
I'm gonna go pink, obviously. I'm gonna go red. And then I might be on the minority on this because I do like orange, but I'm going to go yellow, then orange.
I think that's pretty standard.
That's pretty standard.
Is it?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I feel like people hate yellow, so I don't know.
I have pink last.
Really?
No.
You're definitely in the minority.
I go red, yellow, orange, pink. Yeah.
That's I'm good. A pink first.
Pink is.
Yes.
All right, Trey. Well, we appreciate your time,
you,
man. Good luck. We're excited for Phillies baseball to be back.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz in Clearwater at BayCare Ballpark. Philly spring training with Philly's general manager, Preston Mattingly. Thank you for your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Honor to be on.
So we say general manager, and what people usually perceive is with general manager, like that's, you know, the guy that makes all the decisions. But we have Dave Dombrowski, he's president of baseball operations. So for somebody who doesn't, like, understand, I don't want to be the, hey, what would you say you do here? But the, like, sort of, what does your job entail? How do you, like, how are you in that chain, and what is under you? What are you in charge of?
Yeah, so as baseballs continue to grow, we try and split up things in the front office. Obviously, I'm here to help Dave and anything he needs with the, you know, the roster here. And obviously, some things that report to me, like international scouting, player development. So I'm involved heavily with that group too. Georgie Vilandi on the international side, and then obviously Luke Merton, our new director of player development.
And keeping that whole thing, you talk a lot about development and the minor league system, all that. Keeping that cohesive must be a real challenge. I remember there was a pitcher here named Philippe Aumont, and Philippe Aumont was struggling and said at one point that while I'm hearing a different thing when I'm in AA, then I'm hearing in AAA, then I'm hearing with the Phillies. So how do you manage making sure the messaging is the same throughout their development? That it must be difficult.
Yeah, that's always the big challenge, is keeping everybody on the same page. One central message, whether it's coming from front office to player development to scouting. I think we've improved a lot as an industry, honestly. Like we're all heavily involved in amateur scouting. When we acquire players, we know what they need to work on from day one. We get them into the system, and we have plans for them in place.
What would you say to people that say, you know, the Phillies didn't do enough this offseason, and they pretty much brought the same core back? Like, why should we expect something different to happen this year?
Well, I would start with saying we had a really good roster last year and a really good team. And I think, you know, you add Jesus Luzardo, who has the, you know, the makings of, you know, he's pitched like a number two, number three starter, top of the rotation guy. You know, Max Kepler's had a high floor in the big leagues for a long time, quality defender, quality base runner, and there is some offensive upside. So I think, like, we did add a few pieces. Jordan Romano's been a guy who's been an all-star closer, pitched the back end of the games for Toronto, so we added him to the mix. I think we liked our roster a lot, and we added a few pieces that we think fit with him well.
How do you, then, you know, one of the things that that Rob Thompson said after the year, I think Dombrowski said the same thing about, like, hitter approach, you know. But a lot of the players are, you know, they're over 30 years old. So how manageable is changing the approach of a hitter once they're that far into their career?
You know, I don't know. It's probably a question great for them, honestly. But, you know, I think guys always adapt. And I think you see guys like Aaron Nola has added a pitch, added a new pitch. Zach Wheeler's added a new pitch. I think hitters are always looking to improve and get better. And the technology's gotten, and the information has gotten, you know, better and better as we've gone on. So I think we're trying to provide them the right information to help them maybe have a better approach to the plate in time.
When you look at the team moving forward, right, we focus a lot on what the team is going to do this year, the guys that will make it up to the big leagues. I know another part of your job is also developing the farm system, right, and making sure young players are getting developed. We know about the big three, Crawford, Painter, Miller. Are there any other young players that, you know, have impressed you early or that you're looking sort of see their development in this spring training?
Yeah, I think like a couple guys I would mention is Moises Chace, a kid we acquired from Baltimore in the trade for Soto. And then other ones, Eduardo Taide, he's an 18-year-old catcher, played the full season last year at 17 years old. He'll play in the lower levels this year, but I think he's got a chance to be a, you know, heavy hit power combo and a chance to stick behind the plate. And I can even go a little bit further in the system. I can start ranting on this for a long time.
Geek out. I can see it.
Yeah, he, you know, Jack loves all the minor league.
You know,
yeah.
I think,
yeah.
You know, we're building something here that's it's going to be sustainable. And yeah. I think where we're at now is not where we're going to be in 5 years. Yeah. We're going to continue to add quality players to the system. And I think, like, you know, we want to be the team that's looked at across Major League Baseball, across all of sports, that's the best at development, the best at acquisition. That's not just in the amateur draft. That's also international signees and minor league free agents. So I think we're just getting started, and I think we're going to continue to build on this thing.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk prospects, right? So, listen, Rincones is junior now. People are fired up about him. Turns 24 today. Happy birthday. Is he someone that you see, like, possibly being a corner outfield guy? Could he be in the big leagues this year? People are wondering that.
Yeah, Gabe's been a guy that's been a little bit under the radar. He's had some tough injury luck in the minor leagues, and honestly, some freak thing. You know, sliding into second base last year tears a thumb ligament. He's always been the guy who controls the zone. He hits it really hard, and he has power. So it's like he's a better defender than you think. He's a better base runner than you think. So, I mean, so if he continues to do what he's doing and build off what he's done so far, you know, it's not, you know, a stretch to say he's going to impact our Major League club at some point soon.
What has kind of stuck out about, you know, their first camp, Crawford, Kemp, obviously, is up here for the first time, and Aiden Miller. What have you kind of seen from those guys? Is this a pretty big step up?
I would say they're talented, they're comfortable, and they're not scared. That's one of the main things to watch is, like, sometimes you see young kids come in and they're intimidated by the moment. I think with our guys, you know, it's been, like, no fear, no give. And that's what we want to see out of our guys.
We're with Preston Mattingly, general manager of the Phillies. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about you because we got to get into you.
Let's
Before you, Fritz over there. So you've been on the High Hopes podcast with him. When you're talking to Fritz, do you feel like you're talking to another baseball guy, or do you feel like you're talking to a guy who's acting like he's a baseball guy and you make him feel like he's a baseball guy?
I think Fritz is a baseball guy.
Okay, all right.
I got to give him credit, though.
Okay, yeah?
He's locked in. Everything from the draft to development.
He is locked in.
He knows them all, so he's locked in, yeah.
Yeah. So you...
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. He got the official, he's a baseball guy from the general manager of the Phillies.
It's called having an eye test.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
He did have some decent Eagles takes this year, too, by the way.
No.
You don't want to give him credit on that? Yeah. Don't give him credit yet on that.
It was all bit.
Yeah.
I was thrilled they won.
You got drafted by the Dodgers right out of high school as a baseball player, and we'll get to the basketball thing in a minute. You got $1 million signing bonus. Do you remember what you did with the money?
Bought a lot of Jordans.
Yeah.
I've never been a big spender, but I do love me some J's. But other than that, I'm pretty simple. Lulu and Jordans, you know. So.
Lulu and Jordans. Yeah.
Well, even though you got drafted out of high school, you did have a college basketball career we'll get to in a second, but you were scouted out of high school to play college basketball. What went into making the decision to go after baseball rather than basketball?
Yeah, I was always a really good athlete growing up, and honestly, I probably looked at it and saw, like, my future, you know, down the line was probably better in baseball. I was a good high school basketball player, but as you see, I'm 6'2". I'm not some elite shooter, so I was like, I'm not ignorant to think like, oh man, I'm going to go be Steph Curry in the NBA. Yeah. I'm the only white kid in Indiana who can't shoot. So yeah. I'm more of a slasher, attack the basket type guy. So no, I think I just realized my future was more in the baseball side.
Okay. And then I'd rather honestly hear you tell the story like of you playing baseball and then going back to college to play basketball. I'm sorry, I know you've told it 100 times, but it's really interesting. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, of course. So I think like you get released by your third team, you start to kind of see the writing on the wall, like, hey, this probably is not going to work out for me. Was kind of starting to mess around with playing a little bit. My high school coach, who also is one of my close friends, you know, is convincing me to go back to school, and I told him, hey, if I'm going to go back, I'm going to give you a scholarship because I want to prove that I can play and do this. I went to Indianapolis, trained for a couple months. Teams came in and watched me play. At this point, I'm 24 years old. Teams came in and watched me play. Pat Knight was the head coach at Lamar University, where I ended up going. He came in. I went on a visit there. Obviously, Pat Knight.
At what age were you at that point?
I was 25 when I arrived on campus. So, Pat Knight, obviously Bob Knight's son. I grew up Indiana basketball fan, you know, like every kid in Indiana. And just thought it was a good fit for me. And, you know, I went to Beaumont, Texas, the middle of nowhere. Never been there before, but loved every second of it. And I'm a very marginal player, but, competition, team sports, you can't beat it. And got 3 more years. I graduated at 28 after my junior year. So by the end, I got to feel a little bit like a chaperone, but it was a fun experience.
Well, I always thought, like, you know, I went to college the normal 18 to 22 time. But as I got older, I always thought, man, college would have been so much more interesting older because I think I would have been more patient, more interested in learning. Did you find that at all, or were you just there to play ball?
Well, you know, I'm on camera, I think, so I think I was there to do both. You know, I really wanted to play. I love sports, but you realize the value in education and you know, people, when you're looking to hire people, if you don't have that degree, it's tough to get into the real world and get a job. So obviously a little bit of both, but probably more basketball, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you're making a great transition into this field, and now having the ability to evaluate talent and watch guys develop. Also, there is something to your background and how you arrived to where you are that I would imagine allows you to see the athletes a little bit differently. You can be a lot more patient with them and watching them develop.
Yeah, I think I've been through what they're going through.
Right.
So I think I've been through the struggles. I know what it feels like. I know what you go through when you're 0 for 15 and what you have to do to get back to, you know, where you want to get to. So I'm there to help them. I see the good and the bad. I've been through the good and the bad. So, yeah, just want to help the organization and help our players, you know, any way I can.
Who's kind of stood out so far in spring? It's early, but is anyone kind of catching your eye?
Yeah, I think Christopher Sanchez. To me, like, he's a guy that identified that, you know, he came in really good shape. He's got some added strength to his frame. The velocity's up. That allows the whole arsenal to play up as well. So he looks really good. Obviously, you mentioned Gabriel Rinconas off to a good start. I think it's so early, it's hard to tell, but, I mean, this isn't going to be a shock to anyone, but I think Zach Wheeler looks tremendous. You know, his first time out was almost looked like he was in pristine shape, you know, commanding the ball, both sides of the plate, up to 97, which we haven't seen in the past from Zach. So it was obviously we don't worry if he's not doing that, but I think, like, it was good to see.
So your dad's Don Mattingly, the Yankee legend. It's interesting. So my dad did sports radio for years, and I never knew it. I never thought about it, but as I got older, there was all this institutional knowledge that I had that I didn't know that I had because I grew up around it. Did growing up in a baseball family with your dad playing professional baseball, how much of that do you think got into you and gave you an advantage, not just as a player, but understanding the game and understanding, you know, everything that everybody's going through?
I think it helps you a lot. I mean, you get to see the high-level stuff, both sides, the good and the bad. And I think, you know, just to me, like, being around people that do things at a high level, like, even, you know, as my dad was coaching in L.A., I got to, you know, just to sit in a meeting with Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and some of the high-level front office executives, and just you get to see those people do their job. At that point, I'm a college kid.
Right.
But you start to see things that, like, you know, most people don't get the opportunity to do, so I'm obviously very thankful for that.
You were a year away from – you were in the Marlins organization right before he got there, or did I have that wrong with Dodgers?
No, yeah. Dodgers.
Right. What would it have been like to have your dad manage you? How would that have gone?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I was such a poor player that it probably would have gone the same way, except he would have had to release me.
So. Yeah. one other quick thing, just I guess about the job is. So people tend to think about analytics like it's this, you know, dirty word, and sort of separate from traditional watching the game and scouting. Is there a way, aside from we do both, is there a way to sort of explain to people how you take both of them in? And has there been, like, have you gone against one because you see something in the other, right? Like, maybe you don't see it with a guy, but the numbers all add up to one thing. So I think that's a big question, but I'm asking how you look at that and how you weigh it.
I think you look at it as information. And I think, like, coaches are so good at their job. And I think, like, why not make them better if you have the information to help a player improve? They know best. If you give them even more information, you give them the answer key, they know best how to deliver that to the player. And I think that's how we use it as an organization. And I think, look, you're always looking to improve. You're always looking to get better. So I think, like, we're going to use everything available to us.
So Phillies GM Preston Mattingly, can we ask you four quick ones before you go?
Oh, let's do it.
All right. First one, dog guy or cat guy?
Dog.
All right. Do you dog owner currently?
Yeah, English Bulldog.
All right.
Ooh, there you go. Yeah. I want an English Bulldog.
Yeah. They're fun.
It's a good dog.
Man,
yes.
Good dog. It's a good dog.
Yeah. We don't even know what ours are. They're like super mutts. We have no idea. But good answer. Good answer. Though I used to be a cat guy, but then I became a – you know, I was a cat guy until you get a dog, and you're like, ah. Oh,
yeah.
Well, why waste the time?
Yeah.
Dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs,
well, as a young single guy, a cat's perfect because you can be away for a weekend and just leave the food out. Dogs don't play with that. All right. Second thing, one food for the rest of your life, but you have to think about everything, right? Not just taste, health. If you could pick one dish, what is it?
I'm a big Thai food guy. I love Penang curry, so any type of curry.
Go. All right. Okay. One movie for the rest of your life is the only thing you can watch.
Bad Santa.
Wow.
What an answer.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's still going to be funny in year three?
It's always fun.
Okay, all right.
And Bad Santa, is that Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. It's a good one. And one album for the rest of your life to listen to.
Don't listen to many albums.
Oh, really?
Let's go with
not a music guy.
Yeah, let's go with 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Oh, that's a good one too. That's
right
a good
there.
One too. There
yes.
you go.
I like that.
All right. Well, good luck with this season. As we just told Bryce, we're expecting a lot, and we'll continue to expect a lot. So plan for 5 years from now as well. But we appreciate your time today.
No, thanks for having me on.
There is Preston Mattingly, GM of the Phillies. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.